from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Blue Blue Show, the Ranking Podcast with Ranger Pride. We're going to get into some of these games upcoming week. I'll reflect on last Saturday's game versus the Edmonton Oilers. Of course, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Ranger Proud on Twitter, and of course, Ranger Proud, writer for Elite Sports New York. Our Pizzo, what's going on, my man? How's everything? Talking Rangers hockey, how's everything?
Everything's going pretty good, Steve. You know, getting ready to get some hockey in here more than once every 7 days would be nice, but everything's good.
Oh, the frequency is going to definitely increase, as you already know. So, I mean, the staggered schedule is kind of really different, but nonetheless, we got a lot of upcoming games coming up this week. Got the Devils, we got the Capitals, we got the Canucks. But until we go what's in the future, let's talk about what happened last Saturday versus Edmonton Oilers. Let's start all big picture as far as the Rangers losing that game. The Rangers had a 1-0 lead. They gave up the tying goal off of a faceoff in the second period. But what's your thoughts on the game overall on the Rangers? Just 20 shots on goal from what I saw. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, they were definitely flat. They just didn't seem they seemed out of sorts. They looked like they hadn't played in a week. There's only, and it's not making an excuse, but there's only so much that you can practice, and without getting tired of one another. It almost felt like the break in spring in training camp. It was a very unusual setup, and the Rangers were. Don't know why the only team that was off that didn't travel overseas that had that long of a break. There's really no reason for it. It kind of, I think, set the team back a little bit playing wise, because it's hard to get into a groove, and it showed that they were flat. They were a couple of steps off. I mean, Zibanejad started the game with that quick early breakaway that, you know, would have been great if he would have scored. Probably if it was earlier in the week, the way he was scoring, he would have. And then just things, you know, after they got that lead, you know, Kako scored and the place was jumping, but they never really got into a solid groove. You know, they were playing a real tough team. Edmonton is still, I believe, the only undefeated team. They just lost, but at that point, they were undefeated. You know, Neil was playing great, and Connor McDavid, of course, always plays well. So they ran into a hot team. They beat all the three metropolitan teams this week. So there was a lot against them. It's hard when you're as cold as they were going against a team that was as hot as the Edmonton Oilers. So I'm not putting a lot into the loss. The coaching staff has made some changes, and I guess the team was ready to make some adjustments coming off the loss. I mean, they still started out well. They're 2-1. They're not in any shape, in a bad shape, I should say. But that game was a flat game, and normally I'm a little bit more like, oh, they could have played this and that better. But they just looked out of sorts, Steve. You know, there was something missing. That jump, that step that you saw the first two games just wasn't there. So I'm just hoping that once they play Thursday night, we'll get back into some normalcy, a regular flow, which is very important. You know, it's hard to say who's playing well and who isn't on a small sample of three games. So I really didn't put much thought into it. I mean, losing always sucks in my eye. You know that. But in this instance, I'm not taking too much out of it.
Right. We always talk about all the little things that happens within the game as far as execution of plays. Even the execution of the play of Kako getting that first goal. And it goes to the point of what as far as the line changes, even though it was a beautiful pass by Ryan Strome, the feed Kako execution-wise, I know there's going to be changes coming down the pike, and I know you've been harping about that as well. But just the other little changes as far as, like, right off the face-off, even though the Rangers weren't bad with the face-off over the weekend or last Saturday, that one pretty much tied the game, because I think Edmonton with a set play with a lot of the screeners really had Lundqvist thrown off. And then just that little bit of a difference was enough to tie the game at the time. The Edmonton, to me, from watching the game, it seemed like there was a load as far as them in transition, especially Jaiado, especially, he was just a load all night for them as far as defending him. The power play, the power play goal that they gave with Connor McDavid, that's just a ricochet. It looked like it went off the foot of Trouba. And I know,
yeah,
I know,
like
Hank
meant to
was
do
playing
it.
The
yeah.
pass. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it probably did. And then they also
it
the
did.
Other,
a lot
the other goal that
he,
kind of like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to say the other goal, like kind of like it trickled between the five hole for Hank Lundqvist. It, like it didn't even like it went through hard. It just Hank didn't have it, and then just got by him and made it 3-1. It's just little. I would say. I mean, I hate to make excuses, but. You know, I guess when you're going against a good player like Connor McDavid, you just got to be very aware, man, of all the trick, the great skills that he brings, but also the trick shots, if you want to call trick shots off of Trouba's leg. And, of course, got to secure the puck if you can. He just didn't do that. And that pretty much was the game. And, like, some of the shots that the Rangers did shot, it went off the post, but like you always say, the post don't count. You know, you got to get it in.
That's
you know?
Right,
so,
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was just a, it was a, you know, going into the third, it was a tie game. And at that point, you're like, well, the way the Rangers haven't played so long, you got to be pretty comfortable since Edmonton has been playing and had a good flow. I thought, like you said, they had a great transition game. They had a lot going for them, but then just things just didn't really come together. You know, the power play goal, what about 9 and change left in the game. And then that gave them the lead. And then after that, the Rangers just weren't able to, you know, to tie it up, and then Draisaitl scored 2 in a row after that, and they put it to bed. So, not horrible. A lot of correctable things I thought, you know, they could take out of the game. Now it's just time to move on from it. You know, they had some hard practices. You got to sort of put the Edmonton game in the rearview mirror. Go back to the, you know, the good win in Winnipeg, what they took from there, and the win in Ottawa, and now go forward. And, you know. They're battling into it. It's a tricky game coming up, Steve, Thursday night. The Devils are winless. Rumors are their coach is on the block to get fired. So they're going to come out hungry. And it's always a good game when they play the Devils. And this year, especially the first matchup, Hughes, Kako, there's a lot to look forward to in that game.
All right. Before we even get to the Devils game, there was another couple of plays I did want to reference in the Ranger-Oiler game. We talked about Brady Shea, and then we also talked about Adam Fox, or we needed to see more tape on Adam Fox. But I thought they were really excellent on the forecheck in spurts of the game versus the Oilers. And they really even set up nice setup plays for like a guy like Elias Anderson, who had a nice shot on goal and was just pretty much denied by Mike Smith. These guys, I thought defensively, not only defensively, but they were on the attack on the offense as well. And they really went out of their way to create plays. Even though the team didn't have a lot of shot on goals, and I know this is something they got to have to address after one game, even if it was 20, 21 shots on goal. But the quality shots on goal was pretty decent. And the Elias Anderson shot was one of them that kind of stood out from what I saw over the weekend versus the Oilers. But also, let me ask you, on top of that, we talked about the first line production and kind of took a step back with Panarin, Zibanejad line. I mean, you're going up against a very good, very, very good top line in the Edmonton Oilers. I think that kind of mentally puts them back as far as, all right, well, we got to keep up the pace. As far as like we said that it was kind of a top heavy team. If we're not going to get the first line production like we did on Saturday, how far could the season go? Who else is going to step up on the second and third and fourth lines? You know, is that going to be addressed? What you say with the blue shirts?
Well, the top line that night, never mind that they not produced, but all three, Panarin, Zibanejad, and Vucinovic were all -3s on the game, which. They just had a bad defensive game too, which that's always a killer. But I, you know, to answer your question about the other three lines, I guess that was sort of answered today when David Aquin announced a lot of changes in the second and third line. Obviously he felt the same way as you did, Steve. And I think he was contemplating making a change now or maybe playing another game. Cause like we said, it's really hard to get a sample out of just three games, especially when they've been so separated between games. But today, he addressed that situation. And the first thing he did, which is something he did in the Oilers game towards the end of the game, he had taken Strom off the second line center and put Brett Howden up there. And today he announced that's going to be the line going to Thursday's games. So Howden will now step up in center, Kako and Kreider, should add some explosiveness. I think Howden is a better skater. Strom might be a better passer and setup man right now, but realistically, the line with Strom on it only had 4 points and one goal in three games. So it wasn't dominating or overpowering. So if you're going to make the move, I think it's the right time to do it. They're going to put Strom at center on a third line. And then a surprising move, which you're going to have to explain to me because I can't figure it out, Steve, is why they moved Brendan Smith up from the fourth line to the third line. I don't understand what offensive production he really expects to get out of the third line by doing that. But right now, as of what was written today and all, that's the lines that he's going with. So he's addressing the situation. Of course, Rangers Town and Rangers Twitter wasn't too thrilled with the announcement with those moves. Of course, Paul Elias Anderson is barely getting 8 minutes a game. Is still stuck centering the fourth line. So, you know, it's hard to, and once again, and I hate to keep beating the horse here, but it's hard to second guess or criticize the coach when he's only had a small sample of games to go. And he sees practices every day. We don't. So there must be a reason why Anderson is staying on the fourth line. I personally would have thought he would have bumped Anderson up to the third line and kept Strone and Smith on the fourth line. But that's not the direction, at least what was written and reported today. That's not the direction the team took in practice. And for now, that's going to be the lineup going into Thursday night, it looks like. And it addresses what you said, Steve. You know, what are we going to do with the second, third, and fourth line? But on the flip side to that, you won't know if that's really the best move until I guess we see some guys on the ice and see if that works. I mean, Strome is absolutely better hands and quicker skater than Brendan Smith. So to me, it kind of leaves the same situation that you sort of have now. Strome wasn't able to keep up with Kreider and Kako. They weren't gelling. There was no chemistry with them. So I don't know if the same thing's happening now with the third and the fourth line for the moves that he made. It is a wait and see, but Smith, Strome, and Jasper Fast as your third line does not seem like the best line that you could put out there. And then Lemieux, Anderson centering, and either Haley or McKay, depending on who they decide to scratch, which as of practice today, the coach was unsure of. Now, we could all place Monday morning quarterback and flip lines around. I guess we're just going to have to trust the coaching staff a little bit in the team as a whole and see where this goes. You know, you would think going against a struggling, hungry devil team, your third and fourth line should be a little better than what it looks like on paper. But as I said, I'm not at practices. We haven't seen these guys skating. So I guess it's going to kind of have to just a wait and see what happens approach.
All right, there's a lot to unpack with that. A lot.
All right, you gotta cut me off once in a while.
No. I gotta hit that entire thing. No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying there's a lot to unpack. Okay, so let's start with Rangerstown, the Twitter, the guys. Their issue with it, is it because Elias Anderson is getting less minutes? It's kind of the Philip Hedl situation.
Yeah.
Is he better off playing less minutes versus going to Hartford? Is that the situation why Rangerstown?
Well, it's not even the less minutes than going to Hartford. I just think now the question was, okay, so you took Strom off the second line, which no one really agreed with to begin with in Rangerstown, in Rangers Twitter world. But now, instead of putting Anderson up there, you're putting Howden up there. But I don't think that's a bad move. Howden's played well. He's skating. He's winning draws. I don't think either move was bad, and I don't think it's bad enough to criticize the way it was going down all over social media, especially when he hasn't played the game yet. You know what I'm saying? It's not like Howden played the game with them, and they were horrible. I just think everyone, for some reason, Ranger fans got impatient in a snap. They were patient, and then once they signed Panarin and Trouba, and then training camp came and the season started, all of a sudden all this patient stuff is over with. And everyone has to realize this team's probably not a playoff team yet. And people say, well, how can you say that with Panarin? It's the truth. All these growing periods, look at all the rookies on this team, Steve, and all these young guys on this team. It's very, very hard to get to the level they need to get to be consistent in the playoffs. So now, today, going back to what you were asking, is there really a problem with Howden centering Kreider and Kako? Speed, decent on the faceoffs, a good passer. He hustles, he goes into the corners, he goes after the puck, and he knows his defensive coverage is pretty well. I don't see right now today why it was so bad, but everybody is so hung up on either Elias Anderson moving up or why is Hedl still in the minors. He's only played 4 games in the minors. The coach, when he sent them down, told everyone he needed to work on being a center, he needed to work on his power play, he needed to work on his draws. Well, did he really learn that in 4 games? And mind you, they played 2 games opening weekend and 2 games this past weekend with no games in the middle. So they've had long layoffs between games, just as the Rangers have. So tell me, in all honesty, if they brought him up now and he failed, then what would everybody say? So you brought him up when you really shouldn't have because you rushed him into a spot in a situation where the Rangers aren't panicking yet. And then he fails. What does that do to his confidence and his demeanor? That there's a reason why they sent him down, so stay the path. Stay on that course. You got guys up here. If it doesn't work with Howden, then you could put Anderson up there. And then if it doesn't work with Anderson, well, then you worry about his heel coming up. Or is that the right move? Well, should we bring Buniyev up to center a little while till we see what's going on? You know, they have to be confident that when they bring Hedl up from the AHL, he doesn't get sent back down. Because you saw what happened with Anderson when they did that. It took a whole season for him to get where he is now again. And he's not even at that level yet. But he is absolutely better than where he was last year. You don't want to do that to Hedl, too. It's already discouraging that you played 75 games last year and you got sent down to the minors this year. So I think when you call him up, you have to be confident that he's staying up. And I just think, and I've been tweeting it and writing it, I just think fans, media, they just lost patience in everything right now. Maybe it's because they haven't played. Everyone's just anxious to see hockey. So now, of course, everyone's overanalyzing everyone's analyzing everything right now. Everything. Everyone's talking about the same topics. It's a good thing, but it's sort of beating the horse over and over and over again. You can't rip. First they rip that the coach should make some changes, and then when he makes changes, now they're ripping the changes on no good. It doesn't work that way. First of all, I'm sure he's not listening to all of it. If he is, then he's not a good coach. But if you look at it from a fan standpoint and from a blogger standpoint, you're ripping things apart that haven't even happened yet. Just because Howden's on that line doesn't mean it's etched in stone that it's his spot. Just like when Strome was on the line for a while, it wasn't etched in stone that he was going to keep the spot. Quinn has always said, you earn your spot. And if Howden hasn't earned it, then Anderson will be the next guy to set up. And maybe he'll earn it. And if that doesn't work out, then maybe Hedl'll be up. Maybe by then it'll be 10 games, 12 games that Hedl's played. I don't know if that's enough time because we don't know what the thinking is or the logic is of the coaching staff sending him down. You know, we hear bits and pieces of what they're looking for, but the inner thoughts of the Rangers organization, only those guys know. So I think everyone has to really just take a step back, play these games out. You know, it's 2 tough games at New Jersey, at Washington. Nothing's going to be easy, and let's just see what happens. But there's so much more than just the second-line center that's going on with the team. So I think everyone has to just soak it all in and then give them some space to see how it shakes.
Hey, I mean, I think it also the part of it is they look at Elias Anderson as his homegrown first-round draft pick, and how are we expecting to see his development if he can't get the time on the ice at an adequate second line level. I mean, I think that's kind of the argument where Ranger fans are impatient. That's the rationale, and I kind of understand it. And that's the same reason why I said last week that if I was to shuffle it, I'm putting the speed guy with the speed guys. Not to say Brett Howden can skate, no doubt. But I mean, as far as what we think could actually gel as well, I mean, that might be an actually a safe move for the – it's like a safe move in the sense of, okay, if Brad Holiday doesn't work, we can always throw Elias Anderson because we're going to increase his minutes no matter what, how you look at it. He's going from the fourth to the third line. We're going to increase his minutes anyway, just by a little bit. And if it doesn't work, we'll go up another notch, increase it in another a couple minutes per game. As far as time on the ice, that's assuming Cackle and Kreider are still there. I mean, it's never guaranteed with those guys at the wings either on the second line. You never know how these things could shape up if they get outplayed in some games. You know, we're going to see that as a test. I say, in particularly the Capital game on Friday. But you know, we're going to see that how they're going to gel versus the Devils, and then you know the Canucks after that. There's no. The Devils are.
There are no easy games.
A rival. There you go. You take the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to say. They have a lot of time to look into this. They're not going to overlook the Devils, especially, like you said, this is going to be tied at the hip as long as each of them are a Ranger and a Devil, meaning Jack Hughes and Cavill Kako. I mean, they're joined at the hip. I mean, this is a media, not even local media, but national media's dream. Two teams from the local area playing against each other, one and two in the draft, respectively. They're tied at the hip, man. This is it. I mean, as far as they're going to be under a severe microscope, you know, to perform.
For the longest time, yes.
For as long as they're a Devil and a Ranger, respectively, you know, and that's just the way it's going to be. And as far as Quinn's obviously trying to put the – you know, you made the best point was we don't see the practices. And we don't know what they're seeing in practice that we can't see. We're just going off a game film, which I still think is still – that's what really, really counts. I mean, you could be the best practice player. I mean, this is any sport. You could be the best practice player, but it don't translate it onto the field or the rink or whatever. But make a long story short, I think when the argument as far as Elias Anderson as a second-line center – this might be a safe play if it doesn't work out for Howden because it could always go to Elias Anderson anyway. So, I mean, what's the rush of putting him up there and you're still going to increase his minutes? So, it's not the worst of moves is what I'm trying to say. And if Rangers Twitter wants to react, go ahead.
I really think, and it's going to probably sound crazy, I just don't understand Smith on the third line. And
yeah,
first thing I would have
part.
Rather seen it. I just don't, you know, he's really, and I wrote about this earlier when he said that he, you know, last year Quinn used Smith at forward because they were short players. They made a lot of trades, draft picks. There wasn't a lot of availability from the AHL, and they put Smith in that spot. And that's great when you're in a pinch. But I personally don't see Smith as better than Brendan Lemieux or even Haley McKeag. I just don't see it as a forward. And I would have rather the third line had been Anderson centering Lemieux and Fast. You're still looking for offense on your third line. You're still looking for pressure in the offensive zone with your third line. And you're looking for strong defensive coverage on your third line. And I don't think Strom and Smith do that as a team. Fast, we know, can play anywhere. But I think that Lemieux, Anderson, and Fast is a much better third line than Smith, Strom, and Fast. I think Smith, Strom, and either Haley or McKeag are a fourth line. They're smart. They can keep the puck out of their end. They can play good defensive hockey, and they give the other three guys minutes. Those are the guys that should be playing the 7, 8, 9 minute marks. Strom also could get some power play time and more penalty killing time, so he would still see fairly good minutes overall through a game. This way, the way this third and fourth line are set up, Steve, I see it makes the team a little weaker. Now, as we said, I'm trying not to Monday morning quarterback the coach, but just on paper and just looking at how these guys play, you would think that would be a much stronger line. So if Anderson's only getting 7 or 8 minutes a game, well, that means Lemieux's only getting that. And last year, he was getting a hell of a lot more time than that. So now you've taken his minutes away because you put him on that line.
Yeah,
so
that's bad. That's not good.
I don't see how you're not going to be playing Lemieux a lot now. Now, are they going to flip-flop Lemieux and Smith? Well, if that's the case, then they need to put Anderson up there. It just doesn't jive with and a lot of people complain about this, of what the team as an organization was saying earlier in camp and at the beginning of the season, how they wanted to use their young guys, they wanted to get them the important minutes, and they wanted to get them the experience. And then you have Lemieux and Anderson, two young guys on the team, sitting getting 8 or 9 minutes on the fourth line. You have Smith, who you were considering buying out before things went the other way, playing with Strome, who's in his, you know, who had a great year last year, but doesn't look the same this year. So, you know, it's going to be, a trial and error. And until the coach finds that right combo of lines, we're going to be going through this a lot. Obviously, he's going to try to keep the Vanacek line intact for as long as possible. And to what you were saying, if he separates Kreider and Kako, that means one of them most likely are dropping down to the third line. Now you're not giving them the minutes that they need to be productive. So it's really hard to split them up. So I think what you need to do is you need to have better pressing third and fourth lines, like the Rangers used to have a couple of years ago. You know, at one point, any line was the first line. And not they don't have the talent to do that, but they absolutely have top-line forwards that could really be productive.
I'm not understanding what he's doing when it comes to Smith. I mean, there's a domino effect, like to your point, as far as Brandon with Lemieux. I agree with you, man. I don't know why. And you know, if we're gonna project this I know he comes with this first round reputation when he was drafted back in, you know, those days with Detroit. But I don't. You went from that with the buyout to, you know, he wasn't really all that stellar from what I saw in the preseason. He's, you know, called for what it's worth in those games that don't really count, but you got to still see, you got to kind of evaluate the process as far as Brendan Smith was not that very, you know, it wasn't very good in a couple of games in the preseason. But the point is, your point is, when are we going to see some of these other guys get more minutes? And what insider trader information does Brandon Smith have on the New York Rangers that we don't know? I have no idea why.
Someone had said it was also said they wanted Smith to play up until today, the fourth line wing, and also be used on the penalty kill. Okay, that makes some sense. But the Rangers were shorthanded 8 minutes against Edmonton. The Oilers were 1-for-2 on the power play against the Rangers, and Smith played 1:28 of the 4 minutes. Are we really keeping Smith in all of this to play penalty killing? I mean, you're telling me that Trouba, Shea, Staal aren't good enough to take up that time? And even right now, the way things have been going, D'Angelo can kill penalties, and Fox is getting better and better. So I don't believe that's the reason why. I don't see you giving up a potential fourth line winger spot to a natural winger to Brendan Smith because you also want him there to help kill penalties. It just doesn't make sense. And understandable, the Rangers are also only keeping 21 players up, not the 23. So they haven't really done anything since Nemtsov was traded, and they don't intend to. And that's all right, too. There's nothing wrong with that. But the way a lot of other teams would operate is Smith would drop down to the seventh defenseman spot, or alternate if Hayek or Fox or someone has an off night and rotate in and bring up another forward, or they actually have another forward because McCaig is the extra right now. So it's very weird. I don't know if they're worried about the salary cap, though. They do have $4 million in free cap space right now, so I don't think it's that. But there is just something that David Quinn likes about Brendan Smith that he wants him there. And that's just something everyone else is going to have to deal with, I guess.
But he wasn't really in particular with those reasons. He didn't say to any of the interviews or the press conference why he's favoring Brendan Smith.
I
don't see it, man.
No. He had just said in training camp that he was considering using Smith as a forward and as a defenseman, and like a utility baseball player, and that's what I've been calling him.
Right.
A utility player.
Hybrid, yeah.
Which is very unusual. Right. It just, you know, there's been an extra defenseman or an extra forward, but I don't remember a time when a player, a defenseman, was kept up for both positions. He doesn't, you know, when he's out there skating with the puck, I don't see him as a positive. Yes, he can shift the puck out, but he's really not going to be flying down the ice on the right-hand side, you know, swooping in like a Jesper Fast could, or a Brendan Lemieux could. Or you're not going to see that. So I just don't see. And now, why are you putting him on the third line? Just doesn't make sense. There's just, like you said, there's something there that we're not seeing. We don't know. There's some mentality.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
What's the argument for other guys that's on the roster, like McKeag? We already know what, like, we like Lemieux and his physicality. He should, but like why not McKeag or somebody like that as far as pushing Brendan Smith down? Like, how the hell is Brendan Smith going up? See, that's the part.
That's the crazy part.
I'm not understanding the logic. Is this something that Quinn is seeing? I mean, let's rationalize this thing, like, because there's some important available six points to be made this week. All right, but by the time we come back on next Tuesday, so is he seeing something in practice that he says, okay, I could implement Brendan Smith with this line, and we're going to get maximum production that's going to help the rest of this team? I mean, is that what we're saying here as far as him pairing up on that third, with, you know, the third line with the, I guess, with Strome and Fast? Like, is that how you see that? Like, is that what's going through the mind of Quinn? I mean, or the assistant coaches put that in his head? Is this an analytics thing? I don't know. How do you look at this?
I don't. I haven't the foggiest idea. I mean, I was just looking at minutes played between McKeag and Smith against the Oilers. And McKeag played about a minute and a half less than Smith. McKeag had 7 minutes of playing time, and Smith had 9 and change. Of that 9 and change, a minute and 48 was on a penalty kill. So if you take the penalty kill away, they had just about the same amount of ice time. So
right.
I just don't see the difference in the two players, other than, I mean, McKeag is 27 years old. Is Smith that much older than him? I don't think so. I can't find what he's looking for or what he's gaining out of not keeping McKeag in the lineup, or Haley, whichever one he decided to use, and making Brendan Smith the defenseman that he's supposed to be, unless he's lost confidence in his defense. But that can't be the case, because why is he keeping him up to penalty kill then? If you're not confident in being a defenseman, then you wouldn't put him on the PK. Smith is 3 years older than McKeag. Not that that matters, but I just don't see what he's doing. So there must be some method to his madness. But moving him up to the third line, I think, might bite them right in the ass. I think you took away two lines now by doing that.
I hope we are wrong when it comes to that.
I guess the one thing we've learned out of all of this, it's still early in the damn season. After the double game, it's only going to be 4 games played. Even if you lose the double game and you're 2-2, making an adjustment is what the coaching staff is supposed to be doing. And if they don't like it, they'll move them again. I am sure that third and fourth line is going to be interchangeable a few more times, guys, whether Smith plays well or not. Because then I think the other problem is going to be what you just said. Well, how do you get Lemieux more ice time, especially against a team like the Capitals? And against the team, you know, the Devils, who like to play a little rough. It's not going to work with him not being on the ice. It's not going to.
It could be temporary, though. I mean, it could probably just be.
I think this is all temporary. I've been thinking for a while now that is the whole McKeag and Haley signings up here biding time for Keitel and possibly Kravtsov. Is that what they're looking at? You got to remember something. Last year when Brendan Lemieux came over to the Rangers, his ice time was around 12 minutes. When he was Winnipeg, it was only 7 and change average time on the ice. that's where he's going to be going back to, being on the fourth line. And I don't see the Rangers wanting to do that. So this one just might be a one-game kind of deal. I mean, hell, Quinn could change his mind tomorrow for all we know. Even though he said this is more or less what he wanted. This is what he more or less wanted to go with.
But this was planned out. But this was planned out, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, this was planned out because it's how they came in. They asked Lemieux, or not Lemieux, Howden about centering the second line, and all he told them, I forgot what reporter did it, but all he told them was, I didn't even know about it until I saw the color jersey this morning at practice, because that's how they do their lines based on what jersey colors they're wearing and so forth. So I don't even think Howden was addressed the situation, which is kind of good. Came to the rink, go center the second line. Okay, coach, and there he goes. He's young enough, you don't need to play with his head about that. Just go do your job. Okay. So that's a good thing. So we're going to see what happens. Let's get through the double game. Everyone takes a nice deep breath, and let's see what happens. But if you come out of the double game with a win, regardless of the game, you're probably not going to change anything going into Washington. Second end of a back-to-back. You come out
of
there.
Well, that's probably the plan. I think
that's probably the plan.
That's probably part of the plan.
I think the only change you're going to see is in net. I think Hank and Gorgiev are going to split these two games, which they should. Hank should be playing both games on a back-to-back anyway. And you'll see what happens. He hasn't announced who's starting yet. So that's one thing he's going to wait on probably tomorrow.
Okay. Right. I don't necessarily agree with the move per se, but I think they're thinking it out with the management, with the coaching staff. Because look at it like this. It's two division games, all right? Jersey, Capitals right after that. And I think the Rangers, we can agree that this is not a finished product. It's still a work in progress. So maybe this coaching staff is looking at it like this. We're going to take this thing week by week. They had a lot of time since Saturday to really look into the very next opponent. And maybe they're looking at it and say, hey, Brendan Smith, okay, how do we match up against, okay, let's throw out some devil players that Brendan Smith is going to be on the ice at majority of the time, like Blake Coleman, for instance, or Wayne Simmonds. Or Miles Wood, you know, those type of guys on the Devils. Maybe they're saying, okay, Brendan Smith is he may not be, you know, what we thought he would have been coming over since, you know, with the Red Wings, but we like what we have as far as matchup versus Wayne Simmonds, Jesper Bratt, Miles Wood. Not necessarily the top guys, because, you know, the top guys are probably going to be with the top guys for the most part. Then, you know, you have Trouba matching up with, I know, Kyle Palmieri or Shea, keeping a hat on Nico Hischier, so guys like that. But when we're talking about the forwards around that. You had that defenseman around Blake Coleman, who's shown to have some breakout even in the opener versus the Winnipeg Jets. Maybe he has a little something with that. I'm not saying I agree with it, but as far as game plan, we already know Washington's a fully loaded monster. You want to have that guy going up against Kunetsov and Carl Hagelins and your Lars Ehlers and Tom Wilson, who's up and down the line. You know, he's played mostly a lot over the years on that top line. Who's been, you've seen him this year playing with Kunetsov more than Nicholas Backstrom. So maybe there is some plan as far as putting this veteran just for this week versus these other veterans on the middle of the pack teams, line combinations of the Devils and the Capitals. That's the only rationale I can really think of, and they had time to think about this. I mean, I think that if anything, I think we all can agree, the fans, the coach, this is definitely temporary. This is not permanent. So maybe they're saying, okay, if this works, it works. If it don't, you know, they'll lose maybe 2 points, but don't – out of this week, RP, 4 out of 6 points is what I'm aiming for. Personally, you know, as a Rangers fan, 4 out of 6 this week between – Devils, Capitals, Canucks, give me 6. I don't care how you get it. Get 4 out of 6, and I'm cool with this week. 6 out of 6 is great, but 4 out of 6 is what I'm aiming for. What about you as far as division games, and especially now, you know, with the lineup changes as far as how we're going to get, you know, keep the Devils off the, you know, the board. We don't want the, if anything, I really want it against them, you know, keep them off the board. But how do you look at it strategy-wise with the points?
Yeah, the Devils are going to be drooling for, I mean, they're winless, so the Devils are definitely striving, and, you know, Jack Hughes is really, really getting frustrated. He's squeezing his stick a lot. You know, the one great thing is Kako's got his first goal. He's got it out of the way. And I always said once he gets that first one, I really thought the gates are going to open. And he was playing really well before that. He was sticking really well. He doesn't seem intimidated whatsoever on the ice. The difference in ringside, none of that seems to affect him. He seems ready to go. And you know something? Everyone's saying, oh, he didn't score right away. This is the National Hockey League. They're the best players in the world. It's not that easy to score a goal. Look at Jack Hughes, who's struggling. And he's had plenty of opportunities. So I think the advantage for the Rangers is that he's got his first goal on his belt. He's ready to go, and Hughes is really, really stressing it and really squeezing his stick tight. And until he gets his first goal, which, God willing, won't be on Thursday night, it's going to be a battle for them. But don't knock anything. The Devils are they're in a corner right now, and they can do anything they can to get a win. So the Rangers are really going to have to be on top of that game. Really going to have to come out and know the Devils are going to come out. Those first 10 minutes in that Devil game are going to be huge. The Rangers have to try to keep them off the board early. Maybe they can catch an early goal. You know, Taylor Hall's been scoring. He sure looks really good, as he always does. So there's a lot going on that team. And I would love for the Rangers to, like you said, to get out of these next three games 6 points. I absolutely think that they can. So I don't want to think Vancouver's a slouch because they're not, but the Rangers have a pretty favorable schedule. Never mind the next three games. The next five games, two on the road and three at home. If you break it down the other way, Steve, they need to win at least 3 out of 5 is okay. It can't be any less than that. They want to keep up and keep the points going and keep the chemistry going. You got to look at it that way, too. You've got in the next five games, it's 10 points. 6 is the minimum you can get out of that, which is more or less what you were saying. Now, the Devils, the Capitals is probably their toughest game of the upcoming five, because after the Vancouver game, they have Arizona and then Buffalo. Buffalo's been playing well. Let's not like it. Jack Eichel and that team have really been playing better hockey. It's early in the year, but they've been playing good hockey. I haven't really followed Arizona, I'm not going to lie. I'm not ready for that one yet. I saw Vancouver the other night. I would think the Capitals are going to be
who did the Canucks play?
Recently?
You saw them the other night.
I saw them the other night, but okay. I can't remember who they played. But I watched them a little bit the other night. I might have been on NHL in one of the extended coverage thing that they have. I'm not 100% sure now on the top of my head. But they've been they're there. They're not, they're the kind of team, they're scrapping. They're in sort of the same kind of situation. I don't want to say that they're rebuilding, but they're not a slouch enough. Like we said earlier, there are no easy teams in the NHL. I mean, Vancouver, they're 2-2 right now. They've scored 13 goals in 4 games. So they're putting the puck in the net. They haven't won on the road yet. Good for the Rangers. Maybe not. Sometimes when that team is really striving to kind of do for a win, so the Rangers are going to have to come out sharp on that. Arizona, they're another team. They're 2-2-1 in 5 games. They've scored 11 goals in 5 games. A little bit less than Vancouver has. They're 1-1 away. They're 1-1 at home. Early in the season, but any team on any night right now is going to give the Rangers a little bit of fits. So I would absolutely think what you said. The next 3 games, you got to get 2 out of 3. And in the next 5 games, you got to come out with at least 6 out of the 10 points. Otherwise, you're playing from behind too early. And then you want to see speculation. If the Rangers don't win at least 3 out of the next 5 games, it's going to be crazy. The one thing I can say, Steve, that I like is that the Rangers didn't wait to make any line changes. You know, they could have sat back and said, we've only played 3 games, and we've only played 1 game in the last 7 days, so let's see what happens with the back-to-backs with New Jersey and Washington, and then with the day off before Vancouver, see where we're at. I think they were smart to make the moves. Whether you agree with the moves or not as a whole, another subject for another day. But the Rangers are now going from having playing a lot to playing 3 games in the next 4 nights starting with Thursday. So it's going to be a lot of hockey out of nowhere. the younger guys, Fox, Hayek, it's going to be a little different. It's not going to be like college. It's not going to be like in the AHL. There's going to be a lot going on really fast. So the Rangers need to get a good start. To me, their season starts now. I mean, when you look at their schedule, this is what we've been waiting for. Get some games in, get some flow going, get some wins, and then keep an eye on the line combinations. Keep an eye on those defensive pairings because, you know, you got two rookie defensemen in there and Fox. D'Angelo is always a little bit on the unpredictable side, and we're still waiting for Brady Shea to take off. It's got to happen now, Steve. Can't really wait much longer for it.
I thought defensively he was okay.
He has. Now it's time to put all of it together. You really need to see him stepping out and making those offensive decisions, making those little rushes like you've seen him done before.
Yeah.
And I think now we'll start to see the season begin and just got to be patient. I know I keep saying it, but it's the truth. If the Rangers start making these rational decisions and stupid moves, it'll be right where we were 3 years ago again. You didn't do this whole year and a half rebuild to throw it all away after three games of the season. So let's just see how these look. You and I could be totally wrong. Smith could be awesome on this third line. Do we think so? No, of course we don't. But we've seen crazier things happen. And like you said, if it doesn't work out good with the double game, they can move it around before the Capital game. Nothing is locked in. The coach could say, change it on the fly in the second or the third period if he doesn't like it. So it's not like, you know, you're stuck with it. Obviously, these are the 21 guys that they're going to be rolling with right now, and there's nothing wrong with that. It gives the coach a lot of options to move a lot of guys around into different spots. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, one more thing before we go, because we talked about the Devils. We talked about a little bit about the Capitals. I mean, I don't think there's no breaking news as far as how we're going to play against them. We've played them a million times. The core of that team is still together, so we know who the main players on there. As far as Vancouver, this is a game I don't want to sleep on. You have to deal with Elias Pettersson, who I think is an excellent player. I also think Tanner Pearson is a fine player as well, a winger on there. He's probably on the first or second line. Now, I'll be honest, I only seen like maybe one game with them, and I think it was opening night versus Calgary. So, but I know for the fact that their team, as far as who gets on the ice, I mean, they distribute the minutes evenly across the board for the most part. The top nine guys probably play average of 13 to 15 minutes a night. So it's not like our team where Zibanejad, Panarin, those guys are well over 20-plus minutes a night. You know, they still have JT Miller. Remember, we talked about that even in the offseason, him going from the Lightning to the Canuck. He's on their top line. We already know what he brings to the table. Brock Boeser is an excellent winger. I know he's probably going to I'm thinking he's probably got two goals up until this point, and I'm not exactly sure how many games they have played. But I'm just looking at it
as far as four.
This team.
Yeah, they played four.
Oh, they did play four. Okay, so these guys,
Don't forget Quinn Hughes on defense. Yeah, Quinn Hughes.
Can't forget about him as well. You can't forget about Quinn Hughes. You're right about that. These guys, you can't sleep on them. Alexander, those guys. They're an okay team. They're a work in progress as well. Don't get it twisted. All I'm saying is, every game is a test for the Rangers. We're not in the position to say, okay, we're playing this team, we're taking the night off. As far as the Vancouver game, the third game out of this bunch this week, before we get back to the next episode with you, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, got to contain Tanner Pearson. You got to make sure Elias Pearson and Brock Boeser don't get off. But I think JT Miller could be a handful, and we know what he can do, man. I mean, this guy creates. That's what he does. He creates. He's radioactive out there. He makes things happen. It would have shot me if he leads the team in points at this point without even looking at the stats, because we know what JT Miller is. So we got to deal with him, as far as play-wise, I'm pretty sure he's looking forward to whenever we play the Blue Shirts or whenever he plays the Blue Shirts. But Needless to say, however you get these 6 points, theoretically, I think we've seen weirder things, but if we beat the Devils and we beat the Canucks, it's been an okay week. The Washington Capitals, even if we even get into overtime, I'll be cool with that. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely,
I'm cool with all that. I don't have anything else to add. Oh yeah, one more thing. We talked about finishing plays, and this episode's kind of been welcome to the NHL with Kako. That finisher he did on that goal, that was beautiful. That's some beautiful stuff, man. And that's the dimension.
That's his hands,
you know,
right there. Yep.
There it is. There it is.
That's what we were talking about all summer.
Right.
Those hands. He was very calm. He took the pass mm-hmm. on the backhand, cut back and forth,
right.
and put it in. And that was a goal scorer's goal. It really did.
There it is.
You know, sometimes a player's first goal is, you know, a crappy deflection, a rebound, or whatever. He scored a goal scorer's goal for his first goal. Can never take that away. And I really think it's gonna propel him to see what he can really bring out now. You know, he broke the ice now, literally. Now he's playing. Now he's in the game, and I mean, we've said it all year. We've been waiting to see it, and it's gonna take time. It really is. But he's gonna be something special to watch, just like Zibanejad. You know, everyone realized Zibanejad is the player he is now, and last season, he didn't just come that way. When we traded him from Ottawa, he was good, but he's so much better now. And that took 3-4 years for him to develop to get there. And then that's what all these guys are going to be in 3 or 4 years, but they're not there now. Heedle's not there now, and Anderson's not there now, and Howden's not there now, and Fox. They got a real young hockey team, and it's going to be exciting to watch over the next couple of seasons. I just think a lot of people just have this false hope that they're a playoff team. And, you know, maybe they make a wild card, Steve. The division's a little bit weak, but like we had said earlier, we don't see them, I don't see them, as a playoff team right now. I think an 82-games grind schedule like the NHL has is really going to put a whooping on these guys in the second half of the season. And that learning experience is what's going to make them better next season. And like someone said earlier, I read a tweet, you know, when we signed Panarin, it wasn't for this season. The signing of Panarin should really take effect next year when this team is that much better and they're ready for a playoff run. And that's where we're hoping that it leads, of course. I mean, everyone's hoping it leads to a Stanley Cup final and all down the road. But I just think here, just because we signed Panarin and Trouba doesn't automatically put the Rangers into the playoff talk. They're great hockey players, but they're just two hockey players. So I think that's what everyone has to really look at.
But it's, for me, it's a 1 week at a time. If we're setting the goals to get a certain allowed number of points, they should succeed with 4 out of 6. Then we can take it to the next week. We can look at that goal next week. I mean, that's my approach this season with the Blue Shirts.
And that's great. I mean, you know, that's a really good way to look at it, just trying to break it down into little mini accomplishments. And they should pile
up. They should.
But I think it's like a roller coaster, you know. I think there's going to be some really great highs, and I think they're going to go through some really tough lows. And how they handle that between the coaching staff and the veterans on the team helping the younger guys to get over those lows is what will make them a better team. But, you know, there's always that expression, why do we fall down so that you can learn how to pick yourselves up? They're going to have to get knocked down a little bit, and the fan base is going to have to realize that. And they've been really good the last year and a half, really good with this whole thing. But for some reason right now, it's like I think they're tired of talking about rebuilding and building up a program, and young kids, they just want to see hockey, and they're just not there yet. They're just not there yet. You know, this team will be so much better when Hedo and Kraftsov are full-time, is on the roster the middle of the season into next season. They'll be a totally different team. But those guys just aren't ready yet. Remember, Steve, we had mentioned that. You know, these guys get drafted, and a lot of them just aren't ready to play in the NHL yet. It takes a development. Not everybody's Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid. It just doesn't – you wish it was, but it just doesn't work that way. So the growing pains, we're still in the middle of it.
Right on. Final thoughts from Ranger Pride, man. What's your thoughts as far as this weekend and any other articles and content with Elite Sports New York?
I just want to see hockey, so I can't wait till the Rangers play Thursday night. I mean, a great battle. Finally going to see Kako and Hughes on the same ice in an NHL game. I mean, you can't ask for much better than that other than the win, of course. But let's just get this going because, like I said earlier, it just doesn't feel like the season has really started. And now we're going to get some hockey, and we're going to see what we got. Plain and simple. Is that much more to say than what we said tonight?
Hey, man, I hope we were wrong about Brendan Smith. So let's take this act Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, see what we can do with these available points. And we go from there, we'll analyze and evaluate these three games and get a whole slew of games after that next Tuesday when we talk again, man. Ranger Proud RP, Ranger Proud on Facebook, and of course Twitter, writing for Elite Sports New York. Of course, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. This episode on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify for the millennials. RP is good talking hockey, even though if it was only one game. But we're going to have a lot to discuss subsequently next Tuesday, man. We'll have some more games to really, really roll with. And it gives me time to catch up on the damn NHL, too, man. I've been kind of behind on all the sports, really. I've been behind, obviously, because the baseball team's been locked in, but just on the go like crazy. But I really going to have some time to really look at this. All the games, too, man. Did you saw that Boston the last week's game, that Boston Vegas game, man? I tell you, man, Boston's they look good, man. I know we talk about Edmonton being undefeated and all that, but man, Colorado, you know, another team that's
Colorado's the only undefeated left now. Yep.
Yeah, you got Pittsburgh.
And,
I think they got Pittsburgh tomorrow.
Did you recover from your baseball loss earlier today?
It was kind of. I looked at myself to being an objective fan. That doesn't surprise me,
okay,
to be quite honest with you. So,
me neither. That's what I just wanted, because everyone says I did that because I'm a Met fan, but I really thought that Cole was going to win that game today. He just, the man could pitch out of trouble all day.
Exactly. Well, but do or die rested away for the most part. Until it goes back, if it gets back to Texas. All right, Sangreasu, ladies and gentlemen, RP, have some fun on the Facebook and, of course, Twitter and all your articles, man. Lee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.